thank you for joining us here on the Neutral Zone. I am Phil Milani, joined as always by my esteemed colleague, my partner in crime. Really, you know, on a day like today, Thanksgiving, I'm just so happy that I can call this person my everything. It's at Eric DeLalla.
Phil, you big turkey.
Yeah, I'm a softy.
Great to to be here with you on this holiday.
Yeah.
People are, they're with their families right now.
Yep.
So are we. Football is family.
That's true. Football is family.
And since it's just us with the people we care most about, Ben Swanson is not here.
That is true. What happened to this guy?
I don't know.
People are worried.
They're worried sick.
They are worried sick. That is true. Yeah. Swanson, I don't know. Maybe his travels.
Does he work here?
They've caught up to him health-wise.
Oh,
I don't know.
Is that what you're hearing?
I'm not sure. Yeah. You know, like when you're just on the water for that long, scurvy is a big problem.
That's right.
You know, vitamin C deficiency.
Well, people don't know the barrel. It kind of broke down. He's clinging to the door.
Yeah, exactly.
And
there's not that much room on a door, famously. You know?
Right. Exactly. Ben Swanson, a lot of room for Ben Swanson.
Yeah.
Kind of like a 3-bedroom house, but.
Yeah, exactly. But
Ben Swanson's like,
That's plenty of room. Yeah, exactly.
But it gets chilly.
At nighttime, sure. Yeah,
the sharks
this time
are
of year.
Circling.
Yeah.
In the Colorado River.
Dark waters.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Stormy. There's a storm brewing.
So maybe next week.
Yeah. Where do we?
I don't know.
You saw him, I thought.
I saw him for just a touch.
Yeah. Did he look
for
okay?
Just a second. Yeah. He did not look well.
Ooh.
His face is kind of sunken a little bit. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know,
ragged,
lost some weight, I think. Yeah, yeah. All he had left was his flannel.
The flannel was baggier than it's ever been.
Yeah, he was clinging on to that, but
it's sad.
Yeah, so we hope that he can get better, but we hope everybody listening is having a very wonderful Thanksgiving, a happy holiday. Thanksgiving really is a nice holiday.
It's a great one.
You know, it's friends, family, food. This is nice. Football.
Football.
Yeah.
All about the football. The Broncos, Phil.
Yeah, the Broncos.
In the eight seasons I've been here, they'd never played on Thanksgiving.
No.
It's always been a dream of mine to... A
couple of times Christmas, but...
play in a Thanksgiving game. I think that's fun.
It is fun,
nice, but it hasn't happened for me yet.
Yeah, we thought maybe when the schedule was coming out, maybe the Lions would have been a potential game there, but...
Three divisional games today.
Yeah.
I like the division.
I like the division. Yeah. Those games are... Maybe if the teams aren't that great,
right?
They tend to play each other a little bit tough. They know each other's tendencies. Those are good games. I saw a cool clip earlier this week of Barry Sanders talking about what it meant to play on Thanksgiving, and he had good perspective.
Run for some tubs.
Yeah, just that game always meant a little bit more, to Detroit, and you got a halftime performance, and it felt like a playoff game.
Yeah.
So that was. Of course, for Barry Sanders, that was like the only game.
Right.
Every year. That was
the game.
He thought maybe that's what a playoff game felt like.
Oh, wow. Rough.
No, I'm just kidding.
I did see a funny TikTok. Do you know TikTok?
I know TikTok, yeah.
It was a dad and his son. And the son said, "Dad, tell me a scary story." And he was like, "Let me tell you about when Calvin Johnson caught a touchdown and then they said it wasn't a catch." The kid's
That's relevant. That's more for Halloween.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, there's a cool little thing, like a documentary on Barry Sanders coming out. It's called Bye Bye Barry. I saw a trailer for that. Yeah.
You got the early release?
I saw a little thing about it. Just the way, about how he walked away from the game.
Like a Bye Bye Birdie?
Yeah, exactly. And it was about his retirement.
Bye Bye Ben Swanson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Makes you think.
When's that doc dropping?
That's soon.
Behind the scenes of what happened to Ben Swanson. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, we've got a lot to be thankful for, Eric. We'll do a little bit on what we're thankful for about this Broncos team.
Yep.
A little bit later. And then, of course, we're going to get into this matchup with the Browns. How do the Broncos find some rhythm on offense after going 2-for-12 on third down against the Vikings? An even tougher defense is coming to town this week. This Browns squad, very, very talented.
Fast, physical.
Big.
Tough. Phil, I, of course, am a Big Ten connoisseur.
Yeah.
I love a nice 6-3 game, a 0-0 halftime tie, a lot of punts.
Maybe not even that many forward passes.
You're right.
You know,
exactly,
that's sort of your brand.
I like that. Yeah. Kind of a 3 yards, maybe 2 yards, 1 yard in a cloud of dust.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you like.
The high grass.
I got a feeling that this could be like that. This is going to be a smash mouth, grind it out football game.
It feels like that.
And easily the best defense the Broncos will face all year. It's going to be a challenge.
I will say this. When you are a type of football team that plays really good defense, the flow of a game has to go in your favor. And speaking from experience, there's some really good Broncos defenses over the years. And if, like, say maybe one kind of fluky play happens and all of a sudden you're down 7-0, then like the pressure starts to build a little bit. And then that defense just has to live up to the billing in order for the flow of the game to go in your favor. So we could talk about this a little bit more here as the show goes on. So this is going to be a tough game, though. Myles Garrett is leading the NFL in sacks. He had 2 last week against Kenny Pickett and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's got 13 on the year. Eric, he is just the 3rd player ever since 1982, when they started keeping track of sacks as a statistic, to have more than 12 sacks in 5 of his first 7 seasons.
Wow. That's a good stat.
I don't know where I got that from.
He also fell as the 4th player since 1985 to lead the league in sacks while playing for the number 1 defense in the NFL.
Yeah, that's an interesting. I think Bosa did that last year, right?
Oh, that's
correct. I believe. Joey Bosa.
No.
Nick Bosa. Bosa. Nick Bosa with the 49ers. I get those guys mixed up a little bit.
Yeah.
The Bosa Bros.
It'll happen
sometimes. So we'll talk about that. Then we'll talk on the other side of the ball, this Broncos defense continuing to force turnovers. It's sort of like a machine. You know what I mean? You flip the switch.
It is a machine.
It starts running. It's going through. And then on the front side, you put in an offense.
Yep.
And then it goes through the machine. And then on the other end, boom, turnover.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
What movie is that? There's like one of those machines where you like something like pops out. Is that Willy Wonka or what?
Kind of a Wonka. I was going to say Willy Wonka. There's like a lot of like conveyor belts.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of a situation. So we'll see if they can flip the switch on this week. Get the machine going this week. And maybe some more turnovers, especially playing against rookie quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
That's just junior.
Yeah, it's a mouthful a little bit.
Yeah, DTR. Thompson-Robinson. It's kind of how
some people say DTR.
You say Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Yeah, exactly. Thompson Robinson, this is a mouthful.
Swiss Family Dorian Thompson Robinson, as we talked about earlier.
Of course.
I think that's a nice way to remember it.
A nice way. Yeah, exactly. So DTR. DTR. Yeah. So see how the Broncos can force him maybe into some mistakes. What should be the game plan here? Because
I like it.
They like to run the football, Eric, I believe. And
they do.
We'll see.
He threw the ball a lot.
I think they have the 3rd best rushing attack in the league. So see what this Broncos defense can muster up.
Phil, you know it's a big game and like a tough game. I got papers galore.
You got a lot of papers.
Numbers. I got.
It's
just
a lot of copies of the schedule.
Yeah, all stapled together.
Yeah.
That's true.
You just like to flip through.
You can read
them?
This from over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't even need that because you memorize the schedule.
I don't need that. That's true.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll talk about that. But Eric, did you have a stat you wanted to get to?
No, I'll get to it later.
Oh, okay. Before we dive in to really the meat and potatoes of this meal.
The peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. We were trying to come up with things last week after
the
we
McFlurry
stopped
and burger.
Sort of the pepperoni of this pizza.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, the pepperoni of this pizza. We got to let people know, the NZ Nation, let them know how they can get involved in the show.
That's right, Phil. You can do a lot of different things, really. You can leave a voicemail at 707-NEUTRAL. I know we got a couple that Ben Swanson missed them because he was in the river.
He missed them. I think his Wi-Fi was not working.
Yeah, Jeff Flanagan, I believe, left a voicemail.
Yes.
And then who else left one?
Who was the other one?
Somebody else left one.
Zach.
Zach with a C, of course. Yeah.
fellas. So
they, what?
No, that sounds out. Zach with a C is Zach with a X. Nay.
Yeah, exactly. He's got the baby.
Sorry.
He's probably like probably 10 years old by now, I think.
Yeah. Time flies.
So probably getting ready for third grade or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can leave a voicemail. It's 707-NEUTRAL. You can leave an email at neutralzoneshow@gmail.com. We'll read it here on the air. We got a nice email from Bronco Batman.
Yeah, we'll read that later in the show. Huh?
Perfect. And Phil, you can tweet at us directly on Twitter /X/ whatever it's called today. Eric DeLallo with an A, at Phil Milani with a PH.
PH. It's okay. Non-traditional.
Okay, I was confused.
It's really non-traditional.
But Phil, I think the best way, our favorite way, the number one way is you you fire up the internet. I don't know if you've...
You the dial-up?
You got that or no?
I have internet. Yeah. The only thing is you can't talk on the phone in the house.
That's right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, like I try to call you just to chat.
Can't. Not if I'm on the
still,
internet.
I'm still here. I'm like, Phil, when are you coming into work?
Yeah.
And you're like, hold on. I'm looking up something on the internet. Let me call you back.
Yeah. Exactly.
Kind of a bummer, but.
Yeah. Do you remember dial-up internet?
Of course
you had dial-up internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people would like download music. Illegally. Mm. I would not mean, but other
Lime
people.
LimeWire situation?
Yeah. And you would like click a bunch of them and then go to sleep. And hopefully in the morning they had all down.
And hopefully the FBI wasn't at your front door. Exactly.
I would not do that.
No. But,
I heard stories.
Some people have done it.
In the hallways at school. You know, you would just hear
rumors.
You're like, guess what I did? I was like, what?
Napster.
I would not do that.
Yeah. And so once you fire up the dial-up internet, Phil, you go to the Broncos' official YouTube page, you find the Neutral Zone, you click on it, you watch all 3 hours of it, and then you leave a comment.
Yes. That's really the only way to do it.
And then we'll read them right here on the air, which we're going to do right now.
Our friend Barry.
Of course.
Left a comment here. Tough Monday for me. My boss is a Vikings fan.
Ooh. More like a tough Monday for your boss, Barry.
Yeah, Barry, rub it in a little.
Yeah.
You know, hey.
You think the boss is taking it out on him that the Vikings lost?
Maybe.
You go straight to HR.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a violation.
Yeah, you can. Hopefully.
What if his boss is HR?
That's true. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
That'd be tough.
The man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully there's not too many Browns fans who happen to be bosses.
Oh.
Because they could also, I don't know, we'll have to see what kind of Monday it is.
We'll have to see, yeah.
We'll have to see. Dominic Cavazos. Cavazos, maybe. Say what you will about Irick. He put I instead
say what
of
you
Rick.
Will.
And Rick, R-I-C-K.
As our friend Mike Kliss likes
say what
to
you
say.
Will. He'd be asking questions. So somebody's been listening to the press conferences, maybe.
Who's been saying things about me, Dominic?
I don't know. Say what you will. Say what you will about
Who's
Eric.
Saying things?
This is a look.
I didn't hear the things.
People are saying a lot of things about Eric, but he'd be asking questions. He also has another comment, and he says, I knew Phil was playing hurt. I don't know what what is that?
I don't know. Maybe your back or something. Hurt.
Maybe my back.
Who really knows?
Back's been doing well. Knock on wood. These comments, I should say, are from Monday's show.
Oh, okay.
This Monday's show, yeah. So, Bronco Batman, we'll get to the email later, but great show, guys. So exciting knowing we're in the playoff hunt.
A hunt.
I watched Good Morning Football the other day. They said lurking.
Yeah. I did find it funny. A couple of the Good Morning Football people have been a little critical at times.
Oh, yes.
And they...
you want to name names or just say... Well, I think a couple.
I think people know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think we know.
And they're like, oh, they said Russ was washed. And in my head, I'm like, well, you said Russ was washed.
I don't know.
19 tubs doesn't sound washed to me.
It doesn't sound washed, no. Just 4 interceptions, right?
Yeah. Best touchdown to interception ratio in the entire NFL.
In the whole...
Of all the NFLs?
All of the NFLs.
Yeah, and probably CFL, too. Maybe XFL?
We don't know those numbers.
I don't know, but...
We don't know those numbers.
But it could be.
Number one.
Fourth quarter, best in the league.
Wow.
It's true.
That's good. That's nice. I think that's what you want.
We'll share those numbers later.
Jay Prez Bronk. Says, Sutton is the type of guy that will save some random lady's cat from a house fire. Does Sutton seem like that kind of a guy to you?
Maybe he could
that
catch.
He would save?
I mean, if maybe the cat jumps out of the window.
Oh, yeah.
And Court's going to go get that thing.
That's true.
And then he's going to get 2 feet on the sidewalk before he steps into the yard.
Yeah. Are you a cat Are you kind of a cat person or not?
I'm a cat's guy, not a cat guy.
That's what I was kind of. Yeah,
that's kind of where you are too.
You're a cat's guy. Yes, yeah, so
apostrophe cats.
Yeah,
not just normal.
Cat's guy.
I haven't seen the play Cats, so I don't want to say I'm not into that.
Could be cats.
Yeah, cat's guy, not a cat guy. Maybe a cat's guy.
Maybe. Yeah, you should add that.
Hopefully, everyone's following along there.
Yeah, I will say back to a real cat. There was a video a couple of years ago of a building was on fire in Houston.
Oh, yeah?
And there was a cat that was, like, up on the sixth floor. I don't know how this was recorded, but a cat was in that window from the sixth floor.
Deep fake?
And the building is on fire. It just jumps out. It follows the cat. It lands on the ground. And it just pops back up and starts walking like nothing even happened.
Like, chill.
Just like, yeah, what's up? What's going on?
Yeah. Maybe it was in shock.
I don't know.
Could have been hurt.
I think cats are very athletic. They're a little bit scary.
They're athletic. That way. Yeah.
They're scary athletic, I would say. I will say cats kind of scare me a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm being honest.
Well, what's interesting is that like a lion or a puma or something, they act just like a house cat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
And sometimes you'll see your house cat just like ready to attack you.
They act like a lion.
Yeah. But you're like, you're too small to hurt me.
That's true.
Lion big enough to hurt you.
That's true.
Those like a jaguar's jaw strength.
Oh my gosh. See those videos? Those videos are scary.
Drag it into the woods.
Scary.
The jungle.
Maybe. I don't know what happened to Swanson, but.
Oh.
Could have run into a cat. Maybe the cat.
The cat.
I don't know.
He's always on the prowl.
Yeah, the cat never misses. Robbie Patzer, 5967. Great Broncos win. Let's keep it going. Where's Swanson? I'm starting to get worried.
Yep. We are too.
I don't know. Bobby Hill III.
Ooh.
McMillan is a gem.
Yeah.
Jaquan McMillan.
Yep.
Not Jaquan McMillan.
McMillan, I think.
McMillan.
Like the McMillan.
Yeah. Mr. McMillionaire.
Yep.
I don't. He reminds me of CHJR. The way that he locks up in the slot, makes plays.
Making plays his job.
Strap Harris.
That's his job. How would you?
What do you think? Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Yours is more relevant, I think.
What were you going to say? Straps?
Well, I was going to say, how would you rate Jerry Jeudy's seatbelt motion?
Oh yeah, that was nice.
I thought he did a good job.
He made a nice play there.
But the form was good.
You
think he gets credit for a PBU?
Yeah, of course he should. He should.
It's a good play.
Yeah. What do you think? You think there's some similarities there in the slot?
Yeah, I think in terms of, you know, how you found the guy undrafted.
Yeah, practice squad.
Size a little bit. Physical players, I think.
Yeah.
J-Mac's been a great addition to this team. He's playing as well as anybody on defense. And, knock on wood, he keeps playing at that level because I'd say right now he's among the more irreplaceable guys on that defense.
Oh, my gosh.
Just in terms of the level of play that he's just been turning in, it's been impressive.
Yeah.
And he's got it some kind of
swag.
Yeah, similar to Chris. He's got confidence.
Yes.
I was you've got to be a little bit surprised that, like, you forced three turnovers in the last three games. And he's like, I'm not surprised. Like, this is what I do. I've done this at every level. I play three positions. I play corner. I play nickel. I play safety sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, go off.
Respect.
Go off.
Do your thing then.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Do you?
Yeah.
That's what you got to say.
Go on with your bad self, as some people would say.
Some people would say, I ain't mad at you.
Yeah, exactly.
You could also say that. So
he's playing at a high level.
He is playing at a high level. And he's going out. He's a ball hawk.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He just wants the ball. See ball, take ball.
Yeah.
It's a simple game when you think about it. Yeah.
You try to make it all complicated. We're going to talk about numbers and just
like
go get the ball.
Like, say, for example, if the ball is right there, just take it.
Yeah, and then put it in the box.
They got to put it in the box. It's always amazing.
Take ball, box.
Ball, box. It's amazing to me, and I've talked about this before, a defensive player, when the ball gets in their hands, the panic that ensues. They're like, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? And they just start running, and they start going crazy, and then they just run out of bounds.
Well,
I'm like, why did you do that?
McMillan has not really done that. He hasn't had a chance to do that, really.
A lot of defensive players, when the ball gets in their hand, they're like,
they're not used to it.
Yeah.
You're so excited.
Aqib Talib?
Oh, my gosh.
He took it to the box.
Yeah. That man had like a magnet. Coach Prime.
Took it to the box.
Coach Prime's sick, I think.
He was sick.
Oh.
And the team played like how he
felt.
Now
he's watching the Buffs and he feels even worse.
Last weekend he was.
It's tough.
We'll have to see. One more to go.
Kind of funny how like 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, it was like, oh, the Buffs. And the Broncos are down here, and the Buffs are up here.
Oh,
and
they did a little flipperoo.
They did a little flipperoo.
They did
Broncos
a little,
here now. Yeah, they're the story of Colorado.
Flipped the script.
Yeah. Buffs?
That's true. Back. They're building.
Back.
You better get the Buffs now, because this is as bad as they'll be. They're going to get better.
Yeah, you better get the Buffs now before Deion leaves in 2 years.
Don't speak that ill into the world. So, anyway, thank you very much for those comments. We appreciate them all.
And there was one other one on the Thursday that I enjoyed.
Oh, that you saw?
Somebody asked how I was not fired after I injured Riley Moss.
I did see that one. Yeah.
Remind me how I injured Riley Moss.
Remember you were doing planks.
Oh, yeah. In the way
you were. I think you were watching a movie, maybe.
Yeah.
And
it's just down there for days.
He was struggling, you know.
Yeah, the core couldn't keep up.
He had the core injury.
Yeah, that's true.
Let me get the name here. Just don't say just somebody. Because I also saw Metambali said, hey, maybe if you're just nice to somebody, you know, like Ben Swanson, maybe he would come back. If you're nicer, a little bit nicer, Metambali.
Well,
oh, that was Dominic Cavazos.
Oh, Dominic, thank you.
Yes. And then Edwin Espinoza says the best gum is Hubba Bubba.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I don't really remember the Hubba Bubba.
I think we talked about gum.
And then Rocky Suds actually had a nice comment. Who would you say is your midseason MVP?
Oh.
Midseason MVP. He also mentioned comeback player of the year and favorite moment, but I kind of like a midseason MVP.
Yeah.
That's a nice little question.
What do you think?
One guy who's been like really playing very well, I'm not sure if you would say MVP. I think Russ probably is your MVP, but I think one guy who's really been playing well is Josie Jewell. Oh. Nobody really talks about Josie that much, but like this guy's been around the ball a lot, you know, and he's making plays. He affected the throw last week that McMillan was able to pick off. He recovered the fumble. Every week it seems like he's doing something like that. So I do think that he's been playing very, very well. Obviously, Alex Singleton, 16 tackles last week.
Ooh.
Six.
Is that even allowed?
I didn't know it was, but apparently you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
The hair.
I would say Russ is one.
Yeah, I think Russ is your MVP.
I would say Cortland is probably two.
Yeah.
I mean, eight
tubs.
Just in terms of, it's not like, these have not been easy touchdowns.
Saving cats during the week and
yeah, like the
tubs.
One this week, the one in Buffalo, the one in Kansas City obviously didn't lead to a win, but he's just making catches that are creating wins that, otherwise, the Broncos don't win these football games.
Yeah.
You could argue maybe he's even above Russ at the moment.
Maybe you give Russ comeback, and then you give, you know, you just spread the love a little bit.
And then I think defensively I would choose between McMillan, actually, just the turnovers, the way he's improved that defense. And then I Justin Simmons, I think.
Of course.
We talk about a lot about the defensive improvement. Part of it was Justin missed a couple of those games.
He missed
right?
at Miami, yeah.
And, it wasn't quite himself, I don't think, in the second half of that Commanders game. Justin's been playing at a really high level, a couple of big pass breakups this weekend.
Hockenson.
Yeah.
Back-to-back, almost the same play. Boom. PBU.
Yeah, Simmons was like, you try me again
try
on
do
my
it
birthday?
Again. Do it again. I'll do it again.
Yeah.
Boom. You ran out a whole restaurant like that on your birthday? You did like a whole thing like that?
Man.
Or how'd you do it?
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed because that's what I was going to do for my 30th.
Yeah.
When it arrives in 15
photo
years.
Booth.
And now I can't. I got to do something else.
Yeah. You got to get a whole new outfit.
I'll probably just go to work instead.
Yeah. That's more fun anyway.
Exactly. That's what I love.
That's what you love. Yeah,
what
exactly.
I love to do.
Yeah, you just do that.
So.
All right, well, let's jump in here to our most important topic, and that's how the Broncos can move the football here, ball in the box. I think that's probably the number one topic this week.
I think so.
Circulating around there on the interwebs. How is this Broncos team going to stay on the field? How are they going to move the ball? And more importantly, how are they going to score some touchdowns? Let's dive into that.
Yeah, Phil, it's going to be hard. it's going to be difficult. This is, I mean, people, I'm sure you've heard, if you haven't watched the Browns, hey, it's a good defense, a really good defense. But I think there's two things that help you get an appreciation for how good they really are. Is one is watching them, which seems obvious, right? But I went back and watched the game against the Steelers last week. They fly to the ball. Myles Garrett is everywhere.
He's a beast.
The secondary, Grant Delpit, Greg Newsome, Denzel Ward. I mean, these guys fly around.
These are top draft picks, you know, coming in.
Yeah, first-round picks. Yeah. I mean, early-round picks, good football players. They're physical. They're fast. You can't beat them to the edge. They don't give you an inch.
Yeah.
So I think when you watch them, first of all, you notice that, and you notice even when you get a 5-yard pass or something, it feels hard.
Yeah.
It feel like every yard.
No easy ones.
Every yard you gain feels like you've really done something. You get a 4-yard gain on the ground, you're like, and that's a pretty good run.
Nice.
So that stands out when you watch them. And then I think statistically, there are things that, you know, I didn't realize just how good they were.
Yeah.
They have the fewest yards allowed per opponent drive per game since 2000. They're allowing 18 yards per drive.
Per drive.
They are first this year per possession in points per game, or in points per possession, yards per possession, plays per possession, score percentage. And I think one of the things they do, because they're so good on defense, they force all these three and outs, the highest three and out per drive.
A lot of three and outs.
Since 2000, which is when they started tracking that. The Browns run 18 more plays a game than their opponents. And I think part of what they do is they just wear you out.
Yeah. It's kind of like a turnover, you know, almost just taking away these plays. I mean, 18 plays is like a drive.
Yeah, it's like, well,
a long, I mean, two long, drives, yeah, exactly. Like two long drives.
And they, this defense, teams average a lot of possessions against them for whatever reason, but two red zone drives per game is what they're giving up, two red zone attempts. The Steelers this last week against them, I'm just double checking here. The Steelers made it to the red zone once.
One time.
And they didn't score a touchdown.
You got to score touchdowns.
The Broncos, of course, last week with the turnovers, made it to the red zone 5 times. And obviously need to be better down there. But this is going to be a group that is going to be hard to move the ball against. I think you've got to run the football and be committed to that. The Steelers were able to get 172 rushing yards. A lot of them were in one chunk play. But you've got to stick with that. You've got to not turn the ball over. You can't have a strip sack fumble. You can't have a bad interception. You can't have, you know, let the ball get ripped away on a wide receiver screen or something. You've got to play clean football and then just hope you're in it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I think you got to run the football to set up the pass in this one. And hopefully maybe you get like one or two big explosive plays that you're able to take advantage of it. Because when the opportunities are there, there's going to be very few of them. And when they're there, you got to take advantage of it. So I do think that Javonte Williams, Samaje Perine, they're going to have to play a big role in this game. And also in pass pro too, they're going to have to chip a lot of these guys along the defensive front, make life tough for Myles Garrett, get the tight ends in there, just make it tough, because they're going to make it tough on the Broncos. So run the football, try and keep them off balance, maybe do a little hurry up, playing at elevation, you know, try and keep them off balance a little bit. The risk there, though, if you go hurry up, is all the three and outs.
Yeah.
And if you go boom, 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 and then you're off the field, those really kill.
Boom,
you know
boom
what
game.
I mean? You don't want a boom-boom game.
No.
No. So I think that you got to run the football, get your ball to your playmakers, and then if there happens to be an opportunity to hit a deep shot, you got to connect. You got to make sure that you take advantage of it.
Yeah, it's interesting because you've got to find a way to get them off the line of scrimmage and from, like, pressing up and making these, like, flying to the ball at the line of scrimmage.
Aggressive.
Because if you don't do that, then the end arounds, the screens, the short passes, those aren't going to work.
Yeah.
And so you've got to find a way to get it deep at least a couple of times to get them to back up.
Yeah, exactly.
And
play honest.
But it's hard. They're allowing 143 pass yards a game.
Yeah.
That's the fewest in 40 years.
Yeah. 40 years, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're going to be the first.
Really good.
They could be the first team since the Steelers 15 years ago to allow less than 250 yards a game. We mentioned the third down percentage, the red zone. I mean, it's a good defense. Yeah. I would say if you can find a way to get into the fourth quarter and say it's 10-10 or 6-6 or something like that, I don't think you're going to be looking at a game where it's 24-24 going into the fourth. Maybe I'm wrong. They've played a couple of games where
opponents have gotten
I think the Seahawks scored 24 on them. They played against the Colts Ravens. It was like a 39-38, something like that. But you've got to find a way to get into the fourth quarter and still be in the football game. And then that's where I think Russ can do what he does.
Because defenses play a little bit different in certain situations.
In those clutch moments, Russ in the fourth quarter this year, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. That's first in the league. 4 game-winning drives, 4 comebacks. And, he's the only quarterback with 40 passes in the fourth quarter to not have an interception.
Turns it on.
He's played well in those moments. And I think if you're in a close game, you like your chances of having Russ guide the offense versus having a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, of course.
Now, DTR, last week they were tied. He led them on a go-ahead field goal drive.
Yeah, like a minute to play, right?
I think offensively, you've got to find a way to stay on the field, keep time of possession. I mean, this is a team that grinds up the clock, wants your defense on the field. You've got to find a way to keep the time of possession close. Play the field position game, Phil. I feel like this is a game where...
Special teams.
Even if you don't score, can you get 20, 30 yards to flip the field?
Yeah.
I mean, because I watched the Steelers-Browns game. The Browns are starting at the 50-yard line a lot.
Yeah.
And you think back to that Bills game of Sean Payton say, hey, when you play in their end, it increases your margin for error. Your mistakes aren't as bad. I have a feeling it's going to be that... Got to have the same approach this week.
Yeah. Good thing for the Broncos, they're number one in kickoff returns and number one in punt returns in the NFL.
That is good.
So that's a nice little...
This punter can help. Boom it.
Boom.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe at altitude, he's going to boom it too far.
That could be a boom, punt.
Big boom. Big boom.
Big boom.
So, field position is going to be important. And then, maybe even if the defense can create some turnovers, shorter fields...
Right.
Then you're going to be able to have some more success. The other thing that could help is maybe a little bit of an early lead. If you could get on the board early in this game, maybe it'll change the way that they have to play. So I do think, like I mentioned at the very beginning of the show, when you are playing defensive football and you're winning a lot of these games, 13-10, that kind of thing, you really have to be sharp the whole game. And so if a few things slip up and you're able to say it's 14-0 early, something happens, there's a lot of pressure that goes on that side of the ball where now their rookie quarterback's like, hey, I got to catch up, or like the defense is like, oh God, we screwed this up or whatever. So I do think that the start of the game will be important. It'll kind of dictate what kind of game this is going to be.
Yeah. And the Broncos have done a nice job scoring on opening possessions this year. It hasn't been great at all times, but a lot of touchdowns on opening drives. Obviously, the last 2 weeks have turned turnovers into field goals and at least gotten on the board.
Yeah, early, yep.
I agree with you. If you're able to throw this team off kind of what its normal trajectory is, I mean, just think of some of these Broncos teams we've seen over the last few years. Last year was a good defense. A couple years ago, 2021 with Teddy, a good defense, but... A lot of the times, last year I think about in Baltimore against a second string quarterback, right? Tyler Huntley, I believe, coming in. The Broncos defense made stop after stop after stop after stop. And then in the final moments, it just...
One little thing,
and the Broncos can't find a way to win the game.
Yeah.
The margin for error, I think you're right, with a great defense is a little bit less than if you have a great offense.
Yeah.
Can you just... keep it close, because I do think the same thing is true. If the Broncos fall behind a couple of touchdowns, 2 possessions,
pressure,
something like that, that's going to let Myles Garrett get going.
Yeah, fall behind.
You've got to just stay within striking distance, not make mistakes. I don't expect this to be the best offensive display for either team, of the season. This is like a... a pack your lunch pail.
Oh, work boots.
Yeah, exactly.
Steel toe.
Pull down the welding mask and go to work. Yeah, some sparks.
Oh, I think the Steelers played them last week.
Right, but it's going to, you maybe got to channel your inner Steelers, but do the winning instead of the losing.
Oh, got it. That game turned into like a punt fest, especially in the fourth quarter there. It was like, which team is going to just make like one play to kick a field goal? It was like back and forth, punt, 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 punt. And then the Browns, like at the end, were like, oh, fine, we'll just kick a field goal.
And maybe that's a good transition, Phil, to the Browns offense.
Ooh, let's flip. Let's talk about the other side here now. Because topic number two.
Topic number two. I saw two vastly different Cleveland offenses in that game.
In the same game?
In the same game, two different
tale offenses. Tale of two offenses.
In the first half, the Browns actually moved the ball pretty well, scored a touchdown, got a field goal, almost had a 14-0 halftime lead there. And what I saw was Steelers playing off a bit, DTR moving the ball a little bit with his legs, he's a quick passing quarterback, Phil. He's not going to sit back there and hold the ball too long.
Yeah.
He's going to get it out quick. Steelers were playing off on the outside, able to pick up 5 or 6 yards at a time, kind of the easy throws.
Make them drive all the way down the field, long drive.
Right, but they were doing that. Yeah. And, you know, wasn't making mistakes in terms of, you know, not every throw is accurate, but it was enough. They were running the ball decently well, making just some plays in space, and they looked good. So, yeah. You know, the field goal drive for them at the end of the first half last week, 17-play drive.
That's a lot.
They're able to just kind of, that's where the time of possession, a 5-minute drive, another 4-and-a-half-minute drive early in the game, they're able to move the ball on you. What I saw in the second half that was completely different is Steelers started playing a little bit more of an attacking defense.
Ooh, corners aggressive.
Felt like the safeties were a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage. And almost every pass that DTR threw was either a screen in the backfield. It was a quick throw out to the, you know, the line of scrimmage and let somebody try to make a play. It was 5 yards down the field. I mean, very rarely was it looking deep down the field. And so the Steelers were able to, they probably took a chance there of, hey, let's not, maybe we get beat over the top, but let's play closer to the line of scrimmage. And the passes started being off target. The Steelers started getting some pressure. They started making them uncomfortable. A couple chances at an interception. The Steelers ended up getting one. And the Browns just, let's see, prior to the last field goal drive, they had 4 first downs in the second half. They went punt, punt, interception, punt, punt, punt before the final field goal.
And a lot of possessions.
A lot of possessions.
Yeah.
Yeah, each team had, like 10
at least.
Possessions at least? Or yeah. Sorry, 13 for the Steelers, 12 for the Browns.
Yeah.
So very different than, like, the Raiders-Broncos game
from
week one. But, yeah, this is I think what you've got to do is, one, you have to stop the run, obviously. That's got to be a commitment.
Yeah, make DTR beat you.
Right, and I think you've got to make him beat you. You know, it's risky, but I think you've got to make him beat you down the field.
Yeah.
Like, play close to the line of scrimmage. If he's going to beat you with, you know, 20-yard passes that are on the money consistently, okay, credit to that guy.
Amari Cooper is good, but he's been in the league a long time now.
Yeah. No, he's playing well.
He's playing well.
But I do think that, like, Surtain, J-Mac, Fabian Moreau, they got to play close to the line of scrimmage. They got to make tackles. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of
tight
plays
windows.
Where this is, you know, they're swinging it to a running back. They're running a screen play. DTR tries to move it with his, you know, with his legs.
Yeah.
And you just got to be ready to stop that again and again and again. And I do think the other thing is, if they do move the ball, holding them to field goals in the red zone is critical. And we've seen the Broncos red zone defense be pretty good.
Yep.
Not as good last week against Minnesota.
Dobbs may created some problems there.
Right. But he's playing at a high level. Get back to the red zone defense you were playing before. Hold him to field goals and should have a chance. And then I think you could see late in the game, Phil, the pressure. You could see, like, as it got closer and closer, that
tight.
It was it was a little tight.
Yeah, and I think that, like, if you look at this Broncos defense, you're like, okay, let's start by trying to run the ball on them.
So I agree.
You know, the Vikings had 72 yards rushing in the first quarter alone. So this Broncos team, gap integrity is what Sean Payton said earlier this week. I think that's going to be huge. Make sure that you stop the run. I think if I were the Browns, I'd be like, look, the best friend for a rookie quarterback is a strong running game. So I think that they'll probably try to run the ball. They've got a great rushing attack. stop, if you take that away as a Broncos, you're going to make life much more difficult for DTR. So I think it starts there. And then, like you said, Eric, if you play aggressive and tight and make the easy throws hard throws, I think then it's just a lot harder to get them to go all the way down the field for the Browns there. Maybe that creates some opportunities down the field, but make him throw those passes.
Right.
To me, balls down the field also is an opportunity for like Simmons to make a play. You know?
So, of course.
I think that you try to do that. And then the other thing I think for the Broncos that they're going to have to sort of figure out here is without Kareem Jackson back there, they're going to have to figure out that other safety spot, you know, just sort of like the spacing on the field. I think the communication like with Simmons and K-Jack is like so good that just the spacing on the field, even on run plays, you know, coming in and like just sort of corralling and taking up the gaps and making life tougher, it changes without K-Jack. So the Broncos are going to have, those are the three things. Stop the run, make throws very difficult for DTR, and then figure out what's going on with that other safety spot.
Easy.
Those are the three things.
What's the problem?
Yeah. Do those three things, and you're talking about a Broncos victory.
Yeah, and Phil, I just, it's going to be, you know, like they like to run the ball. They ran it 30 times, but they, and this is part of where the like play discrepancy, they ran 70 plays, which is a lot for an offense typically. DTR threw it 43 times.
But there's no way that they wanted to do that.
Well, some of them are like easy
kind of
passes.
Kind of like runs.
First half, threw it 19 times, completed 13 of them. And so he had 98 yards and 80.6 rating.
But, short passes.
Right. His longest pass was 18 yards.
Yeah.
Then you look at the, you know, the second half, just doing some quick math.
Quick,
here.
You're doing it. You're going to do some subtraction.
Second half, 24 attempts, 11 completions. So less than 50% of his throws, and then only about 70 yards. So you can see how things changed after halftime when they got after him a little bit. I agree that the safety position is something to watch this week.
Yeah.
Communication, like you said, is going to be big. But I also, this feels like a game that, I guess two things. One, I feel like it's going to be played close to the line of scrimmage, which is very different than what I feel like next week against the Texans will be like. But then also, because I expect it'll be a close game, one coverage breakdown could be the difference. And so the Broncos have to find a way to avoid that.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'll miss Kareem Jackson and... I watched the first half and I thought, man, it's going to be really hard for the Broncos to stop these guys.
Then you watched the second half.
And then I watched the second half and I was like, oh, the Broncos can win this football game.
Yeah.
If they play smart football, play complimentary football.
Of course,
And so it just, you know, which Browns team is going to show up? Yep. How does the Broncos, I think one of the great things, you talk about this all the time, Phil, dictating what the other team does, right?
Yeah, I love that. I love it.
I felt like the final three or four drives against the Vikings, the Broncos dictated what was happening.
Yeah, the defense was really, really strong.
You know,
there.
They brought pressure. They, you know, they broke up passes to set up second and third and long. They dictated what the Vikings had to do, and I think that's got to be somewhat of what you do against the Browns. You know, dictate how you want this game to go, as opposed to allowing him to complete short passes and allowing them to gain 4 or 5 yards at a time.
Yeah, Baron Browning. Get after him a little bit. Jonathan Cooper, get after him. Make some of those plays. Benito, get after him a little bit. Because DTR, he's a rookie, but he played a lot of ball at UCLA.
Yep.
In the feared Pac-12.
Yeah. Kind of the revered. Feared and revered, I think.
Feared and revered. Yeah. So he played a lot of football. So he's, you know, he's got snaps under his belt, just not at the NFL level.
Right. And this is, you know, I don't know how much of a difference this makes, because I think one of the two things that travel really well in the NFL are a run game and good defense.
Yeah.
But I think there's something to be said that, like, DTR played this game at home last week
against the Steelers. Yes, of course, communication much tougher.
It's going to be loud. You know, great atmosphere there on Sunday Night Football. Hopefully people are, I know it's the couple days after Thanksgiving. Yeah, exactly. The parachutes.
Yeah.
It's a couple of days after Thanksgiving, but hopefully it's a good crowd. Hopefully it's loud.
Do not eat turkey before you go.
No.
You could get a little sleepy.
Yeah.
You do not want to be sleepy.
You want to be loud.
Loud.
And it'll make life difficult on a rookie quarterback. Maybe force a couple of false starts that put the Browns. That was the other thing with DTR is, obviously, this is not rocket science like Josh Dobbs knows.
Josh Dobbs.
But when he was in 2nd and 10, 3rd and 10, his interception came on 3rd and 15. Those are the hard situations for rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So can you find a way to make stops on early downs? If you let this team have 2nd and 3, get 7 yards a carry, I mean, you're not going to win the football game because they'll wear you down.
Yeah.
And, have some resiliency, have some mental toughness.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a game where offensively you could go 5 drives in a row where you don't score points.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be patient.
Defensively, you could let up a long 15, 16, 17 play touchdown drive where they're just grinding it out. Stay resilient.
And the Broncos have done that.
Keep playing. Yeah. And that's, previously I would have said this team is not built to do that.
Yeah.
This year's team, I feel like, is mentally tough enough to hang in that sort of game. And do they win? I don't know. This is they're 7-3 for a reason. They're a good football team.
Yeah. But Russ said this after the game against the Vikings, you just got to be patient against a defense like this. And eventually at the end of the game, you'll be able to start making some plays. Yeah. And so that's going to have to be, you're going to have some patience because you talk about the atmosphere in the stadium. There was a little bit of frustration growing, Eric, when the Broncos had a couple of 3-and-outs there. That might be the case again this week, but you just got to stick with it, be patient, stay running the football. I think the Vikings did a great job trying to take away the run. It'll be interesting to see what the Browns try to do here, especially if Javonte can get going a little bit. So I do think that Javonte is going to have a good game here for this team to have some success. And, they do like to run it to that right side, where Kush is there, Miners is there, McGlinchey's there. They try to run it that direction. So maybe you'll find some success there because if you could keep Myles Garrett a little bit off balance, you'll have some success. And then, see if that makes DTR be like, oh, I got to play a little bit different here so I could keep us going in the game. So they might have some success there.
When the Broncos are on offense, make their corners tackle. They play a lot of nickel. They play a lot of dime. They're not in base all that much. They play a lot of man coverage as opposed to zone. One single high safety.
Ooh, maybe Russ scrambles a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll start running.
Kenny Pickett had a little bit of success. I mean, part of watching that game last week is the Steelers fired their offensive coordinator after the game.
Yes.
And so they were clearly not pleased with the way that it went. So you can have success. Like we mentioned, the Colts scored in the high 30s. The Seahawks scored in the mid 20s. The Browns do. I think they're near the top of the league in terms of giveaways. They average the most giveaways in the league.
Oh, really?
2, which you'd think they'd be higher, right? But that's, I guess, average.
Oh, per game.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
Not for the whole season. Is. 2 for the whole season isn't.
I was like, what?
Maybe not very many. So maybe you can force some turnovers, but this is going to be a game in November when playoff standings are on the line. Yeah.
This is what you want.
This is what it should be about. It's a big one, Phil. If the Broncos. There's a couple scenarios where, if the Broncos win and the Buccaneers beat the Colts this weekend,
they're in there.
They could be the 7 seed on Monday morning.
Yeah.
And so, I was looking at some of the stats. 6-5, you've got about a 40-45% chance of making the playoffs. You go to 5-6, it plummets back down. You got to start climbing back up that hill again. So we'll see. It's a big one. This is a team that's in the wild card race. A head-to-head win over Cleveland would be huge if you end up with the same record at the end of the year.
Yeah, you got to beat teams in the AFC.
Yeah.
So
important as the Vikings game was, an AFC game at this time of year just has a little bit more. There's added importance.
The Broncos 11-4 all time at home against the Browns. Yeah, this used to be a pretty good rivalry, Eric, between these two.
Did the Browns win the last one?
I think so, yeah.
Was that the Vaughn?
I think there was one other one.
One more?
Somewhere in there, yeah. They kind of blend together. But, of course, Vaughn sacked Baker Mayfield and became the franchise leader in career sacks.
And then the Broncos blew a fourth quarter lead.
In that game, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they did.
Sad.
That was sad. But See, the history is on their side against
history.
The Browns.
History.
History is.
I always love those stats. It's like, oh, Russell Wilson is 2-0 against this franchise.
He's 2-0 all the time against the Browns. He's never lost against the Browns.
And it's like, okay, well, the Browns team that Russell Wilson played for, or the Seahawks team is entirely
different.
The Browns team is different. It's just jerseys.
What's the greatest predictor of the future?
Adam Rank.
Yeah, that's true. What does he say?
I don't know. I haven't seen
it yet.
We'll
have to see what he says. Yeah, who knows what he says.
He kind of has to keep picking the Broncos, I think.
It's been beautiful.
Or you think he just jumps off now while he's ahead?
No, you don't jump off. You just correctly predict it.
Smart.
You could just do that. You know what I mean?
We don't want him to correctly predict a Browns victory.
No, you don't want him to.
No, 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 no.
Just correctly predict a Broncos victory. Yeah. We'll have to see. Eric, one thing we wanted to get to before we do an email and shout outs here is Thanksgiving. You know, it's a festive time of year, Eric. Time really to reflect a little bit and just say, you know, sometimes things aren't always easy. Sometimes life can be very hard. But what are you grateful for? What are you thankful for? And this football team has gone through some tough times, but now they're 5-5, Eric. They've won 4 in a row. We're talking about a big football game that's meaningful. What are you thankful for with this Broncos team?
Well, I'm thankful, I think, for the fact that some of these guys are getting to experience success.
Oh, you're thankful for their thankfulness.
Sure.
Yeah.
We've seen some guys like Justin Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
Cortland Sutton.
Oh, hard times for them.
I mean, really, pretty much everybody on the roster, right, who has been drafted here.
Yeah.
But I think of those guys, and Josie Jewell has been here a long time.
It's true.
Garrett Bowles. I think of those guys who have gone through a lot of bad years.
Yes.
And especially guys like Justin Simmons and Cortland Sutton, who have been captains. Justin Simmons, who has to stand on the podium every week or talk after every loss.
Face the music.
And say, you know, we got to communicate better. We got to play. We got to play at a higher level.
He does say that a lot. Win or lose.
Yeah, maybe it's just true.
He just likes that.
You know, we got to stay together. We got to stay the course. It's hard to get up there, I think, week after week. And Phil, earlier this year when the Broncos were 1-5, it was probably about as down as we've seen Justin. And for them to go on this streak and give these guys something to be happy about and proud about and feel kind of the joy that comes with winning.
Yeah,
I'm happy for those guys and thankful that they, especially players like Justin and Cortland, whose names were being tossed around at the trade deadline of should these guys be gone? Should the Broncos tear it to the studs and start over? Should Jerry Jeudy and Cortland and Josie Jewell and all these guys be shipped out of here? The fact that they stuck with them. It's paying off, at least for now, and we hope it keeps going. But that to me, I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, most definitely. I'd say I think that if you're a Broncos fan and me personally, thankful for Sean Payton, I think.
Yeah.
You know, just the way that he's been able to build the toughness and sort of change the tone around here. You know, the way that he's been able to work with Russell Wilson and the game plans that he's been able to devise and really get this thing turned around for the Broncos. I mean, he's been the biggest difference, I would say, is Sean Payton. So you just got to be happy that he's your team's head coach and that he really knows how to press the right buttons, you know, and it takes a little bit of time. You learn about the players that you got on this team and what's the makeup of this team, and then you start pressing the buttons. And he's been able to do that. He's gotten Russ back on track. I don't think you could say it any other way. You know, Russ had a really difficult year last year. He talked about it, a couple of times now. He's just talked about how tough last year was and like everything he had to go through. Now he's not that anymore. He's back to, 19-4. You know, he's back to really high completion percentage. He's back to playing the way that he's used to, and the difference is Sean Payton. So I think you got to be thankful that he's your head coach, and that more than anything, he's built a resiliency and a toughness, and I think this team has really taken on his personality.
Yeah, and I think what's exciting about that aspect of it is it feels like something's building here for the first time in a while. You know, I think at the end of 2019, when Drew Locke was playing well, there was kind of a sense of, oh, we can build towards something. And, yeah. And obviously that didn't work out. But
there was a sense,
you know,
though.
2016, it didn't feel like you were building. It felt like you were hanging on.
Yeah.
2017, I think the same, you know, can we hang on? Makeup? 2018, didn't really happen.
There was a long time there where the defense was really good and they were just trying to see if they could hit gold, strike oil with a different quarterback.
Right.
You know, like they were just plugging in. Hey, how about this guy? How about this guy? It's hard to build when you're feeling like that.
Right. And then, the same thing happened in 2021. You bring in a different quarterback. 2022 last year, obviously there was hope, but it quickly went away. And I think that this year, for the first time in a long time, you get the sense that, hey, when Sean Payton can bring in another draft class and Sean Payton and George Payton can, you know, get another group of free agents and keep building this team the way Sean Payton wants it to be built and, build more mental toughness and develop the offense more, have more time on task with that this is only going to get better and the mental toughness is going to continue to build and you should be... You know, maybe who knows how the rest of the season plays out, Phil, but next year I would feel like you would come in, you know, maybe the Broncos, say they even like split these last few and you're 8-9, 9-8, something like that. I think they've got
so excited.
I think you'd come in next year being like, hey, we went, you know, we only lost a few games down the stretch after a really difficult start. You'd feel excited. And I think that all has to do with Sean Payton and what he's put in place.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, just being able to build in the draft here and being able to get the makeup of the team that he wants. I think that you got to be happy about that. I mean, you talk about the free agents class that he brought in.
They've been good.
All these guys have been contributing. And, certainly Mibbs has been a huge factor here. So, I think you got to be excited, Eric.
There's a vision.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say, Phil, we should also be thankful for the local baker who's made as many turnovers.
Turnovers, yeah. The machine.
That's been helpful. Yeah, whoever invented the machine, really, thank you.
Yeah. And I'm thankful for NC Nation. I would be remiss.
Yeah.
To not shout out NC Nation. So, Eric, should we get to an email? We have a nice one here.
Let's do it, yeah.
This is from Bronco Batman.
Bronco Batman.
Bronco Batman. He says, hey, guys, it's Bronco Batman. Just letting y'all know, I'll be going to this week's game this Sunday versus the Browns. It's his B-Day. Justin Simmons' birthday last week. 1 week later, Bronco Batman.
What does it mean?
He can't wait, and he hopes to meet us there. He's going to have a giant card. So he's going to try and get some signatures
like a birthday
here.
Card. I like
a giant B-Day card. Yeah, so he says, thanks, and go Broncos. Bronco Batman out.
Bronco Batman.
And it was also sent from his iPhone.
Nice. That's important to note.
Yeah, exactly. So, we'll have to go. We'll have to go see if he's hanging out. Got his big birthday card.
It's supposed to be a little chilly, huh?
Well, I think it's supposed to snow Friday,
okay,
and then clear out by Sunday. I think so. Maybe like highs in the low 40s, upper 30s. I think, is that the plan?
Low of 14.
The low. Yeah.
High of 39.
High of 39. Yeah, what if that's the score, 39-14?
If the Broncos have 39, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
If they don't, I wouldn't be happy with it.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I...
That's true. When the sun goes down...
The sun goes down.
The temperatures drop. That's when Russ heats up.
Moon?
That's when Russ heats up.
Brooks and Dunn?
Yeah.
That's what you were talking about, I think, right?
Yeah. Well, is that a country song?
Yes.
Yeah. Something about just like, what can we talk about? Like, well, that thing in the sky goes away and it gets dark. Let's do something on that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is that right?
Certainly every other genre of music, just really only intelligent.
Deep.
Deep-rooted. Yeah.
Makes you think a little bit.
That's right.
Of course. Yeah, but this one, just the sun, it goes down. Let's do something on that. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That's true.
I'm just kidding. But when the temperatures drop, Russ heats up.
You like the songs where they're like, poker face, pop up, poker face.
Yeah, catchy.
Yeah.
The catchy ones, yeah.
Or Friday by Rebecca Black. That's kind of one of your, you're like, it's Friday.
Yeah.
You got to get down on Friday. You're kind of like, lyrically, that's.
You're like,
that's,
this is what I'm, yeah. What day of the week is it? Let's do something
friend
about
in the
that.
Front seat.
Let's do something about that.
Another friend in the back seat.
Yeah.
Which seat should I take?
Yeah.
You're like,
makes you
oh,
think.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If that was a truck, it would be a country song.
Exactly, of course. What kind of surface are they driving on? Dirt road? Perfect.
Yeah. Asphalt? No.
No. City? No. Are you headed toward a lake, maybe?
Yeah.
Could be nice.
It'd be really nice.
Yeah. Eric, any shout-outs you'd like to get to before we say goodbye?
Oh, maybe shout-out to Liz Gerald's.
Of course, the community department.
Community All-Star.
Broncos were out at the Broncos Boys and Girls Club this week.
Yep, our friend Ike.
Ike was out there. Community Ike. Ike.
Really
Lloyd
nice.
Cushenberry, Sir Lloyd Cushenberry.
Yeah.
The third, I believe.
Third, yeah. That's true. It's his birthday.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
That's a normal way to say that.
Yeah, it was his birthday yesterday, so.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Any other?
Maybe you get cooking a little bit. You know, it's your birthday. You just.
Ooh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. So. Yeah. I think those are all the shout outs, I think. Yeah.
Maybe it's shout out to.
Shout out to all the turkeys out there.
You know who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mean the real turkeys or like the turkeys?
The real turkeys.
Oh, got it. You the real MVP.
They went through a lot, you know?
More of a ham guy.
I know you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know our friend Ramon Cezon would prefer we talk about ham for 6 minutes now, but we don't have that
Ramon
sort of time.
Cezon. Yeah, we don't have that much
time. That sort of time.
Yeah. But you famously do not like turkey.
No. Maybe a little dark meat, but the
yeah. If done properly, turkey, I think, is very delicious. But it's a very dry bird.
Here's what I'll say about turkey.
The dry meat.
And I think I say this every year. If turkey was so good, we'd eat it all the time.
Like chicken.
Yeah.
That's true.
And we don't.
I think you see more
really
and more
big,
turkey
I'm not
these
really
days.
A big chicken fan either.
Really?
I think chicken can get very dry too.
You just gotta do it right.
Yeah. Like a nice pork.
Makes you think like if you just do it well, you know, if you do it properly,
if it's a
it tastes
pig,
really
I like
delicious.
It.
Yeah, exactly. Fat? You like fat. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Makes you think.
Chicken. Yeah, some people don't eat chicken. It's a scared bird.
Some people don't eat chicken. Some people really don't eat any meat.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they just
or any animal
the vegetable.
Products.
Exactly. Yeah. No products. Yeah. So some people only eat fish.
Only.
I don't know.
Fish.
Well, as a source of protein, they eat just the fish.
Of protein, yeah. Yeah. Maybe some garbanzo beans.
They could get. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. A legume. I think you could do. Get some protein going.
Watson's was in the barrel in the legume.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets scary in the legume.
You know what Swanson's adventures kind of remind me of?
Oh, tell me.
You remember that? Were you, you might have been too old for this. You know, like the Magic Treehouse books?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where, like, they'd go in the treehouse and, like, I think they'd open, like, a door or something. Maybe that's
magical.
But, like, they'd do something and, like, they'd pick up, like, a hat and then they'd be in, like, the Serengeti or they'd be, like, in medieval times. That's what Swanson's adventures kind of remind me of.
Yeah, he's...
He goes into his
treehouse.
I think
Narnia has a cupboard, and they open... Or like a...
Yeah,
like a
wardrobe.
Wardrobe. Yeah.
It's in the title of the thing.
That's true. The witch.
The lion, the witch, and the cupboard.
The lion, the witch, and the...
That's what they call it.
You call it a cupboard?
Yeah.
What's really...
Swanson goes up in his magic treehouse, and he like opens up whatever they'd open up, and boom, he's in Niagara Falls.
Yeah. That's... Maybe he should open it up back to the podcast studio.
He should. Yeah, apparently that hasn't been up in the treehouse.
I guess he just doesn't care. No. Some people are built for winter.
Yeah, Swanson not.
He's not built for this.
No.
Sort of, yeah.
He's this time of year is just kind of just all flannel.
Yeah, like he's like a very fancy offense that just like dishes the ball around. And September, it's nice.
Yeah.
You know, training camp, they look really good. You know, a lot of hope for the season. But then...
Who's an offense we can blast that's not going to offend anybody?
Yeah, I don't know how you do it.
I don't know.
I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
But there's some offenses out there that, yeah. But, you know, come winter time, you need to be able to get the ground game
going. He's like a dome team.
He is like a dome team. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, he's like a dome team. So he's not built for it.
No.
So, well, we wish everybody a happy holiday, happy Thanksgiving. I hope everybody's enjoying a nice episode of the Neutral Zone after a nice meal, you know?
Everybody's like, put the football game on. And you're we got to listen to the Neutral Zone first.
Yeah. Maybe you've rigged it up so it's like an old-timey radio. Yeah. Everybody gathers around, turn it on.
Yeah, like a fireside chat.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
like,
we're coming to you from the Broncos facility. Exactly.
Yeah.
Just like that. Maybe you got the fire going a little.
I know Tom Magnetti is making his whole family watch this right now.
Oh, yeah. You get the YouTube going. That's very nice, so. Shout out to the Agnettis.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us. For Eric Dalla, I am Phil Milani. You've been listening to
The Neutral Zone.
Listen up, Denver Broncos fans. Paramount Plus is your streaming home to catch every local NFL on CBS game this season. Visit ParamountPlus.com to start your free trial and stream Russell Wilson and the boys as they battle the league's best. Plus, get an all-access pass to 24/7 NFL content with CBS Sports HQ, Fantasy Football Today, NFL Slime Time, and more. And this year, Paramount Plus is your streaming destination for Super Bowl 58. Another action-packed Broncos season with the NFL on CBS awaits. So stream Paramount Plus from any device all season long.